praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Witness Lee. Witness Lee was captured by the Lord Jesus as a young man of 19 in his native China. He consecrated his life to preach the gospel, and later labored side by side with Watchman Nee for parts of 3 decades, before eventually bringing this ministry to the West in 1962. He spent the next 35 years speaking to Christians in North America and all over the world before going to be with the Lord in 1997. The life study of the Bible is his most significant contribution to the heritage of biblical exposition, and we're delighted to be able to bring you short portions of his spoken ministry today. If you have questions or comments, or would like to find other Christians in your area enjoying this same ministry, just email us, radio@lsm.org. Again, that's radio@lsm.org. Here's today's program. The philosophical and cultured believers in the church in Corinth had many questions concerning a topic that people today also struggle to cope with and understand. That topic is marriage. His words in answer to their many questions are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where on the one hand, he gives them principles that are as universally applicable today as they were in the apostles' time. On the other hand, we see the spirit of the writer, the spirit of a man absolutely one with the Lord and one with his economy, a man who had learned the secret of contentment in whatever circumstance or situation that God would bring to him. Bob Danker has joined us today. We continue to fellowship. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Bob, a chapter that begins with this very short word, but there's a lot that's conveyed here. Verse 1 says, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." And so it's obvious here in this chapter that the Corinthian believers had sent at least one letter, perhaps more than one, to the apostle with questions regarding marriage, because the entire chapter is dealing with this topic, isn't it?
It certainly is, Chris. And as we read through this chapter, we may not notice what Witness Lee points out in this particular message. That is the spirit of the Apostle Paul as he was writing his answer to the Corinthians. We may pay our full attention to what Paul said about marriage, and we may not realize that the one who was answering these questions was a certain kind of person, and the kind of person he was and the kind of spirit he had come through very, very much in his answer. And this is what we want to see in this broadcast.
Yeah, on the one hand, as we touch this subject, we see that in his answer, in the 40 verses in this chapter, there are many principles that are touching all the crucial items related to marriage, of what to do in this case, what to do in that case, and how we should be here and there. So on the one hand, he was answering their questions. But as you said, the intrinsic element, the real gem here, is to see the living that's demonstrated by the way Paul handles all of these issues. And you just see a living that is so one with the Lord, reflecting the Lord's feeling on all of these points. And it's quite a pattern, as Paul said, isn't it?
It is a tremendous pattern for us all. And I really hope that as we listen to the speaking of our brother Lee here, that we will be ushered into the spirit of the apostle as a man, as you said, Chris, who is absolutely one with the Lord and absolutely one with the Lord's economy, the Lord's interests, not occupied with himself, his own interests, his own personal preferences, and so forth.
Right. And really the answer to all of the questions regarding marriage, regarding our practical situation, no matter whether it's a marriage, job, house, this and that, it seems that Paul is giving us a universal answer here, and it very much has to do with accepting what the Lord has arranged and provided for us, and to learn to be content with him in that. You'll see that in a couple of verses we thought we'd read, Bob, before we join Witness Lee. Verse 7 and 8, "Yet I wish all men to be even as I am myself, but each has his own gift from God, one in this way, the other in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. Here's a brother who was willing to remain in what God had given him. That's a marvelous underscored point, I think, for our whole program today. Let's join Witness Lee.
Corinthian believers did have a lot of questions concerning their marriage life. Paul, in answering their questions, he didn't say something ambiguous. He didn't say something political. He said everything in a genuine way. He answered every one of the questions according to his Christian experience. Have you noticed that in this chapter, quite a few times he said, even as me, even as myself, even as me, such expression. So mostly he answered their questions concerning the marriage life according to his living, according to what he is. Now, we have to ask what he is for. Paul was absolute. Absolute for the Lord and for the Lord's economy. You read these 40 verses, you could see Paul's aspiration is that you all have to imitate me. You all have to follow me. I am absolute for the Lord. I hope that you all would be the same. In this chapter, he is just one with God. And he answers the questions in the way that he would help the receivers to be one with God. To be one with God in every kind of situation. To be one with God in every kind of circumstances. To be one with God under any kind of condition.
Bob, there's something that's somewhat subtle here, but I think it's worth our time to develop and explore a little bit. On the one hand, he says, as we read in verse 8, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. Of course, Paul had the gift to be single in his service for the Lord, and it seems like he's saying it's good if you remain single as I am. But it seems like we're hearing he's really saying is remain as I am, which is content with what God has provided and brought us into.
That's right. Paul was actually expressing his aspiration that the Corinthian believers would be the same as Paul in his being absolute for the Lord and for the Lord's interests. And this was what Paul was pointing to here. He wanted the believers not to be distracted either by anything related to their circumstances, so that they would be so occupied with their circumstances and with changing their situation so that they would improve their circumstances. This would distract them from the Lord and from the Lord's interest. But Paul was not such a person. He was one who was absolutely for the Lord and for the Lord's interest. He was not occupied with anything, so he was willing to be content in the circumstances that the Lord had ordained for him, whatever they would be. In Paul's case, of course, we know Paul did not marry. But in most cases, the Lord would ordain that we would marry. Mm-hmm. At any rate, Paul's desire was that the Corinthians would be the same as he was. And of course, the Corinthians were not this kind of persons. They were different from Paul. They were philosophical. They trusted in their own wisdom, in their own ability to manipulate their environment or change their situation to be more according to their own preference.
Yeah, right.
They were not like Paul. And so they were distracted from the Lord, and they were distracted from the Lord's economy, his interests. Paul, however, was not distracted by anything. His whole being was focused on the Lord. He was a person who was absolutely in Christ and in the things of Christ. He was not distracted by anything of his environment.
And I think as we get into Paul's ministry in its the whole scope that it's presented in the New Testament, it's clear to see, really, he wasn't just favoring those who had the gift to remain single, because in many other places he's commending these couples that were fully given in the service. But the pattern, the example that he is really exhorting all of us to follow is this kind of person, absolute for the Lord, absolute for his economy, absolute for his move, in whatever status, in whatever condition that we're in, married, single, and not to be, as you said, distracted, occupied with a constant pursuit of improving our condition, changing our situation. And this plagues so many of God's people, and we've all fallen into it time and time again, haven't we?
Absolutely, Chris. This is a real enlightening word for us, and I would say a rescuing and a saving word. If we could receive a word like this, we would be really rescued by the Lord from so many distractions.
I think against this backdrop now, as we read a couple more of the verses in chapter 7, it becomes abundantly clear this is really Paul's heart in the matter. Verse 17 says, "However, as the Lord has apportioned to each one, as God has called each one, so let him walk, and so I direct in all the churches." 18, "Was anyone called having been circumcised? He need not efface it." In other words, don't change it. "Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He need not be circumcised." In other words, just remain as you are. Take that from the Lord. And verse 20, so clear. "Each one in the calling in which he was called, in this let him remain." It's a different chapter now, isn't it, Bob?
It really is, Chris. What a pure and wonderful word Paul gave.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The Corinthian believers, they are very wise, philosophical. Some say, "I don't like to get married. Marriage is so poor." Some say, "I like to get married. Wah, 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 wah." You see, these kind of talks all indicate human initiation. But Paul's talk, in his writing, you could see spirit, absolutely one with God, not willing, not intending to initiate anything, to initiate the marriage or the unmarriage. Whether you got married a believer or you got married an unbeliever, better not change. Leave this matter to God. Whether the other party will stay with you, take it of God. Whether the other party will go away, okay, take it of God. You see, you don't initiate anything, and you don't change anything. It all depends upon God. Whatever the condition would be, I take it. I have no problem. I don't fight. I don't struggle. See? Not so easy. Have you seen in this chapter, here is a person who is not only absolutely for God, but also absolutely one with God. Amen. Not initiating anything, not changing anything. My, if you would take this principle and go back to chapter 7 and read and study it again, you could see Paul is a person absolutely one with God. And he, in his instructions, in his answers, spontaneously, even unconsciously, expresses this kind of spirit. Because he was with such a spirit, so he could write answers in this way. If you go to the marriage counselor, he would teach you, instruct you to do this, to do that, independent to God, and absolutely rebellious against God. But this writer, his spirit was absolutely under God, absolutely one with God.
This matter, Bob, marriage, of all the human institutions, this one is the closest. I think it's clear from Scripture, it's clear from my own experience. This one is the closest to God's heart. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would.
I mean, it's such a pattern. It's a picture of Christ in the church. And so we know this is a matter ordained, sanctified by God. Very, very important. And this kind of view of how to realize marriage and how to realize the problems and the conflicts associated with it, whether we're married or unmarried, in this struggle. If we could, you know, partake of, enter into Paul's spirit to take it from God, how many marriages would this save? How many hours of anguish would it relieve in God's people?
Oh, this is a crucial point here, Chris. It's very clear from this portion here that God's desire is that whatever status or situation we are in related to marriage or even other kinds of situations and circumstances, that we would simply remain as we are, not initiating a change, not putting ourselves in God's place, not putting God aside and doing something independent of Him, and not being distracted or occupied with our situation, but being occupied absolutely with God, with His interests, with His economy on the earth. We would simply focus our whole being on Him, and we would be absolutely in Him, to be one with Him. This is God's heart desire, to have a people who are one with Him and who are for Him and for His interests. And this word is just a calling from the Lord not to be occupied with our situation, but to be occupied with the Lord and with His interests. God needs such a people in order to fulfill His purpose on this earth. If we are overly occupied with our outward circumstances, whether it's related to marriage or whether any other status,
yeah,
then we will surely miss God and we will miss His purpose. And Satan, in a sense, will capture us and
right.
take us away.
Right.
And Paul was a person who was out of every other realm. He was one with God. He was in God. God was his realm. God was his sphere. It seems he didn't care for anything but God himself and God's interests. And I feel like this is what the Lord is calling us all into, calling us out of everything, just to be one with Him, to be in Him.
It seems like so many of these verses sound similar. Paul almost repeating himself, but he's laboring, I think, to establish this very point that we've been now laboring some with Witness Lee sharing to try to instill. When we get to verse 24, one key component is added, and that is not just that we remain in the condition that we're in, but now pay attention, if you would. You'll hear a similar phrase, but pay attention to what's been added. Each one, brothers, in what status he was called, in this let him remain with God. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
I like this chapter for another point, which is so dear to me. That is, in his answer, he indicated that we Christians who love the Lord, who are for the Lord, and who are one with the Lord, must take any kind of circumstances, any kind of situation. And you have to realize God is always within the circumstances. What is the circumstance to us? Apparently, it is a kind of circumstance. Actually, that is God. That is God coming to you. And that is God with you. When you take your circumstance, you take God. Behind the circumstance, within the circumstance, who is there? God is there. You take the circumstance, you take God. Oh, Paul's spirit is too good. Very obedient, very submissive, very contented, very satisfied. What spirit is this? See, your answer to people always indicates your spirit. When people come to you, what you would say, when people ask of you what you would answer, that always indicates your spirit. This chapter, I like it, not because it gives us all the answers, but because behind all the answers, you could see a spirit of a person who loves the Lord, who cares for the Lord's interest on this earth, who is absolutely for the Lord, and who is one with God, and who is very obedient, very submissive, very, very satisfied with God.
Bob, I'm sure over the years, many Christian workers, pastors, ministers who are involved day by day or week to week helping their members of their congregation through their marital problems have come to this chapter and tried to extract each of the points to get the right answer to all the situations. And we spent a program talking about all of these principles, and they're all valuable and applicable. But really, if we would get this out of this chapter, to see the spirit of this brother, Paul, wouldn't it be beneficial to us to have a whole new way of interpreting our circumstances?
Yes, Chris, I appreciate this point here. It is so precious to realize that behind our circumstances and even within all of our circumstances, there is God. God is there. We are not without God. We are with God. And if we remain in our circumstances, that is, if we accept what God has ordained for us in our environment or our status or our situation, then we will find Him and we will enjoy Him in our situation. We will be one with Him. But if we reject our circumstances, which God has apportioned to us, and we try to change them, we initiate some change on our own, this means we reject God Himself, who is, in a sense, hidden within the circumstance. We have to learn, as Paul did, not to pay so much attention to the circumstance or to our, whether we are happy with it or unhappy with it.
Right.
But we have to find God in our situation. We have to find God in our circumstance, and we have to lay hold of Him and enjoy Him and be contented and satisfied with Him. I am confident that if we would lay hold of God in our situation, we would be contented, because God is really fully sufficient to meet all our needs in any kind of circumstance that we are in.
Yeah, I jotted down this one phrase. It struck me as he was speaking. Apparently, it is our circumstance, he said. Actually, it is God. It is God coming to you. It is God coming to be with you. How often do we interpret these unfortunate, what we think are unfortunate circumstances as God's announcement that He is coming in that circumstance?
We would often interpret the other way, that God left us.
Yeah,
God is, this circumstance is God's going away from
God's
me.
God's leaving me.
But actually, the opposite is true, that the circumstance, as you said, Chris, is God coming to us and God being with us. When we accept the circumstance, we accept God.
I remember reading messages with this point years and years ago when I first was introduced to the writings of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, and through the years, how many times hearing Brother Lee speak these things, we've heard this again and again, but still, this is such a revolutionary concept, such a paradigm change, you know, in our understanding, our interpretation of our environment and our circumstances. This is a lifelong matter, I think, to be fully brought into this, isn't it?
I agree, Chris. The Lord is leading us into the reality of this matter that we're touching here.
Lord willing, as we continue on in the life study of the New Testament in this book of 1 Corinthians, we'll have more opportunities to touch this very key point. And Bob, I always enjoy it when you're here and able to share the microphone.
Well, it's a great pleasure to me.
Well, we are out of time, but we would like to invite you. I think because of the nature of this one, and as we've touched throughout the program today, the significance of it in terms of a way to view and understand what God is really doing to operate His economy in our daily lives, this would be a very, very valuable resource to have the printed message. Just to go back and refresh yourself, even though we've heard it today, we've talked about it, believe me, in our next circumstance, it will not nearly be as clear as it is right now. So if you had this available, you could get right back to it. It's the printed Life Study Volume number 2 of 1 Corinthians. The whole book of 1 Corinthians is a 3-volume set, and you can find out about how to receive these 3 volumes by contacting us toll-free, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788, or write to us at Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee. Receive us into Thy wise hands.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee spent 7 decades in the 20th century speaking Christ, first in Asia, and then North America, eventually all over the world. The culmination of those 70 years of ministry was his life study of the Bible, an exhaustive exposition of the entire Scriptures. This unique commentary focuses on how Christ can be life to man in an experiential and practical way. These programs encapsulate Witness Lee's speaking in just 26 minutes. But to get the complete riches, visit lifestudy.com. From there, you can read all of the Life Study messages in their entirety or download any of our more than 1,700 audio programs at no cost. Again, that website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.